Let us pray. We lift up to you, dear God, our local leaders. We pray for our mayor, members of the city council, county commissioners, police, firemen, judges, and all those who serve our community. We ask that they be given the wisdom to act in charity and justice so that they may serve for the common good, the people of this community. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. This brings us to the Pledge of Allegiance, which will be led by Brent Singer.
Hand over our hearts.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Be seated. Bring us to the roll call. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Mayor Tice.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Haber.
Here.
Council members Fear.
Here.
Ludington.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Osmer. And Owens.
Here.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This brings us to the approval of the agenda.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
Nope, we've got to make...
I'm sorry again.
I apologize.
So this brings us to the approval of agenda, and we do have one change. It's item number 8, WWTP secondary clarifier project change order number 5 now has become WWTP phase 1 project change order number 3.
The amount stays the same.
And the amount stays the same. It's basically coming from just a different account.
Mm-hmm.
So everything stays the same on this. So.
So I make a motion to approve the agenda with the substitution of the updated wastewater treatment plant improvement phase 1 project change order number 3.
Support.
I have a motion of support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The agenda is approved. This brings us to the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of July the 20th, 2026.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion of support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The minutes of the regular meeting of July 20th, 2026 are approved. This brings us to proclamations and special presentations, in which we have one tonight. The presentation from PEA Group and the Shiawassee County Drain Commissioner for the drainage improvement proposal for the Chipman Drain number 091. And we have Brent Singer and Ron Heft here tonight. So our Drain Commissioner, Brent Singer, and from PEA, Ron, all yours.
Good evening. I believe everybody was given the information packet from Ron and submitted to Nathan to disperse to everybody, so I'm guessing hopefully you have all that. Had time to review it. The issue was at the corner of where KP is located in Westtown. And that issue there has been there for quite some time. The township has asked about it, and Nathan was curious about what we could do as well. And so it's kind of come forth again to the board to decide whether or not this project is able to be done or not, or cease to be fit for the area. If you've ever seen the area in the spring, and it collects a lot of water in there. If you've ever been in KP, you can see the water damage on the walls from the water coming in at the door on the corner. So it is so quite substantial for their business as well. So if we find this fit to be done, there's a couple different scenarios that was considered. And the route that would have been probably the most costly would have been taking the drain right to the railroad track and then across, following the railroad track, heading north back towards the river. PA had done some surveying on this, and that they found it to be more cost effective as far as road damage and replacement and requiring less cost by the rerouting of this and heading this on the other, sticking the drain to the other side of the street, which would be the north side from KP, and then heading down the one lane into Chipman, and then running it straight to the north down Chipman, and then cutting it back over to connect to the drain would actually be more cost-effective due to the fact that we have less asphalt to replace, and the thickness of the asphalt being on 21 and is obviously considered to be much heavier asphalt than what there is on Chipman. So we're going to save money there as well. Putting in a couple extra manholes, and then the larger of the two that will be connected to it will be able to handle a lot more water than what is there currently, because right now it's obviously just not enough volume that it can contain and then carry it to the river fast enough. So this would entail a larger tube to be installed, and then running it more directly to the water source, dumping into the river versus having it where it goes now, back towards the railroad track, and then it makes a bunch of turns, and it's kind of a mess up there on that land right there adjacent. That's across from Robbins. That seems to have a lot of issues. There's a lot of drains there. There's a lot of different utilities that go through there as well. So this just seems more fit the route that they have chosen, and to be more cost effective overall to help cut down on any kind of road closures, disturbance of any green space, and overall just a better plan. So that's what we've come up with so far. We've had a couple meetings with Nathan. He seems to be on board. He seems to be the logical plan as far as cost goes and time for everyone. So, and it's obviously for the main purpose of eliminating all that water that collects right there on that corner. So that's what we've come up with and submit to the board. Any questions? I have Ron here from PEA as well. The rough cost estimate right now is $1.5 to $2 million, which would go on the township, the city, and MDOT for the construction on the main road of 21. So
what I understand, the main problem, if I'm getting this right, is that the storm drain that's from State going up towards Chipman and so forth, that's been well undersized, and that's been caused a problem. What's that, about a 4-inch drain?
It's currently a 10 and a 12-inch
drain.
We ran some storm water modeling, and it needs to be a 24-inch minimum to handle the flows. I assume it's been in the ground for quite many years, and you know, M21 was probably a two-lane highway when that was originally installed. Development has occurred, the road is widened, and it just simply doesn't have the capacity to handle the flows that it's receiving right now. So to expand a little bit on Brent's discussion, we would look to replace that 10-inch tile from State to Chipman Street. The section to the west from Chipman Street to the railroad would remain in place. It just services two catch basins, so it has the capacity for those two catch basins. And then we would route it from State up Chipman Street to, I believe the address is 123 North Chipman Street, an industrial building, and then cut across to the west to the existing Chipman drain, which is a 54-inch pipe. Again, we did storm water modeling. The 54-inch has the capacity to take the water. We just have to get it there faster than what it's doing now. We chose that route. It cuts the reconstruction of M21 by about 50%. The pavement removal and replacement on M21 is probably going to be the most expensive, or one of the most expensive cost items to this project. So we've decided to go up a much lighter duty asphalt street rather than the state highway to reduce some of those costs.
So the 10-inch that you're replacing from State to Chipman, that's under M21, are you doing 36-inch, am I reading, or 24?
So it needs to be a 24-inch minimum.
Okay.
MDOT has suggested that they would prefer a 36-inch pipe. They also suggested that they would cover whatever the additional cost is to upsize from a 24-inch to a 36-inch pipe.
Okay. So it sounds like probably end up a 36, obviously.
It likely will.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
A couple of questions?
Sure.
How many residences and how many businesses are actually impacted by the flooding? Like, so this, because this is obviously like a pricey fix. Like, do we know roughly how many parcels are being impacted by the flooding? I'm not suggesting that we don't fix it. I'm just trying to get a...
I'm not sure exactly what the, how far it goes. Depends on how much water.
I think the main issue is right at the state M21 intersection and JP's. Is that
KP? Yeah. Obviously, the water crossing the road is an issue.
But it mostly is pooled there. So it's not actually like negatively impacting like the neighbors of that area. It's
no,
like
the,
kind of sandy right there.
The neighbors that are to the west and south of there complain every year about the rain.
Right.
Flooding their houses.
Right.
That's why it was such a...
That's by the railroad tracks when the guy came in and he was talking to us about it. Yeah.
That's why it was such a... Like, we got to do something about this.
Right.
The whole neighborhood's complaining. Yeah.
So my other follow-up question is, when we do road work, the residences and the businesses pay a special assessment. Would this be something that would get passed on to them in some proportionality? Or is this covered strictly by the township, city, and MDOT?
So... County drains are established in two manners, and I'll use drain code lingo. I'll explain it if you still have questions. There's a Chapter 3-4 drain, which is established and it has a drainage district, and all of the residences, the municipalities, the road agencies within that drainage district share a portion of whatever the cost of the project is. This is a Chapter 20 drain, so it's established a little bit differently, where you have the drainage district is comprised of the municipalities and the road agencies. So in this case, it would be the City of Owosso, Owosso Township, and MDOT.
Okay.
That would share a cost of the share of the cost.
Okay, so then Nathan, would it be the city's policy then to take that cost that was ours and distribute it amongst the properties that the drain would be impacting in a benefit?
We do have the ability to special assess for drain improvements. That would be up to council.
Would that be what you would recommend, what staff would recommend, or is that, would that be a deviation?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Thank you.
Timeline?
We're looking at summer 2027 construction, so next year.
There's one more thing to consider. The state, he's not here, the representative for MDOT. The city, I have been talking with him in these meetings, and because the state may want a larger than minimum pipe size, Ron mentioned that the state would be willing to cover the cost, but we're also talking about just having this be a joint project between the state and the city. And the reason is, if they pick up more than 50% of the cost, the state, that means it would reduce the city's current projected cost based on the hydrological study that was done.
Do we have enough funds to cover it without hurting the city, without applying a special assessment to the community?
Special assessments aside, you have a very healthy general fund balance, and that's where this would have to come from. There's no utility that pays for stormwater in Owosso, so there is a healthy balance. Obviously, this would take a big chunk of that, and it wasn't budgeted. I mean, we have been talking with Brent's office for a while on this, but we didn't have a hard cost estimate. Now we do. So the state is working on presenting a draft to me of an agreement between MDOT and us. Now, if that doesn't work out, like Ron and Brent are saying, we still have the option to rely on the hydrological study done by PEA Group to split up the cost between us, MDOT, the township, and the county. But you do have a policy, and I believe that if it's drawn down, if we have to pay, say, 50% and it's drawn down, I still believe we would be within your general fund fund balance policy.
Okay.
Take a hit, though.
So the city would be a couple of things, I think. City would be obviously better when it comes to the numbers if the state comes through with that offer. And then it would just be two entities that we're dealing with, the state and us. Like, you know, if that didn't happen, now you're dealing with several entities. You go with a township, Owosso Township, MDOT as well. Is that right? Three entities?
The county.
And the county. So you say the summer 2027, but to get all four of us to agree, I mean, the township's going to have to approve this, right? The county's going to have to approve it. MDOT's going to have to approve it.
It's likely going to require a petition at that point.
Meaning? A petition meaning?
A petition for drain improvements. A petition. One of the other reasons why MDOT preferred to go this route is if you do receive a petition, whether it comes from the city or MDOT or the township or whoever, it kind of opens the door to looking at the whole system. Mm-hmm. And it may go from, you know, a $1.5 million project to a $15 million project if we look at the whole system and decide that you want to do improvements in other areas. The way that they're approaching it is it limits it to just this right here, what we're proposing. Now, with that being said, if there's other issues, you know, that discussion can be had, but that's why this methodology was chosen and a cost share between the city of Owosso and MDOT. Mm-hmm. To expand a little bit on Nathan's comment about the hydrologic study, we still have to do some more calculations, and MDOT wants what they call a flow share, and what they're going to do is they're going to start at a percentage, maybe it's a 50-50 split, and then we add a percentage based on what the actual flow share, or what the share of the water going through the storm system comes from MDOT right away, M21 right away. So it's likely to be weighted heavier on the MDOT side than it is on the city of Owosso side.
Gotcha. Okay, so it looks like it's something that we'll be coming back to the city council eventually. We'll find out which direction it's going. Kind of like the plan with the city and MDOT, frankly. We'll hope that goes through. Any other questions for Brent or Ron?
I'd just like to thank Ron and Brent for working with us on this. It's been a long road through not one but two drain commissioners, and a lot of this got thrown in your lap, Brent, and we just appreciate you being open-minded about this.
Yeah, well, certainly.
Yeah, we appreciate it too.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, it's been a problem in West Elm big time.
Yeah,
so this would be fantastic for the city.
Right.
So yeah, thank you for all your efforts.
You got it.
Of course.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too.
See you guys. This brings us now to public hearings, which we have none. This brings us to citizen comments, our first citizen comments, which each person wishing to address the city council shall be afforded one opportunity of up to 4 minutes duration during the first occasion and up to 3 minutes during the last occasion. When recognized, please come to the podium, give your name and address, and direct your comments to the mayor. Anybody would like to address the council at this time? Yes.
Good evening, council. Justin Horvath, 818 South Washington Street, head of the Shiawassee Economic Development Partnership. I'm actually here tonight representing the Shiawassee County Land Bank. I'm also joined by Emily Dorr, who is a consultant we're working with through the Land Bank. And my goal of being here tonight, Nathan invited me to attend to give an update on 800 West Main Street, which is the demolition project that started last week in Westtown. Obviously, there's a lot of information out there. The goal and brief comments tonight is to give you an update, provide some facts, and if you have questions, please let us know. the reason I'm particularly here, for those in the council and certainly the public that don't know, our organization is actually a contracted staff member to the county land bank. The county does not have direct employees or a contracted partner. Emily is actually a specific contractor on the blight elimination program, so wanted to lay that out right away. Couple of other things to lay out. This is not a city project. I know there's been some discussion on that. There have been other land bank projects we've worked on where city dollars were involved, like the Exchange Street property. But this project is not funded with city dollars. This is actually being funded predominantly from a state grant being passed through to the county land bank, as well as some dollars from the current property owner, Brent Lewinsky. So wanted to be aware of that. Other things we've heard, the building was in okay shape. It shouldn't have come down. We can tell you with confidence it absolutely had to come down. There were two structural engineering reports that were done, as well as the city building inspector that looked at it and says this is not a safe building. And for those that saw it, it crumpled pretty good. I mean, so that was definitely the case. The other thing I want to highlight, and I want to make sure Emily was here because she helped coordinate the process, this was a fair legal public bidding process. So this was offered out to any potential bidder. We had several bids that came back. I believe we had three formal bids that came in. The contractor was awarded that based on being licensed, insured, and references checked. So I've had questions from people, how was this contractor vetted? It followed the entire public process through that. So wanted to make that clear. Now, obviously, there were a lot of missteps that happened last week, and so, how do we deal with that? Well, number one, I think it's clear the biggest priority, thank God, no one was hurt or injured or killed, but we need to make sure there's remedies to the problems that happened. So a few things have occurred. MyOSHA has been out there in some capacity to talk about safety issues, as well as Eagle on environmental issues, so they're both on site. We have been monitoring the project. I've been on site personally quite a bit, so has Emily. An independent contractor, if you will, an independent individual who's familiar with these demolition projects, was also additionally hired by the land bank, who's a little more technically knowledgeable than I am, to make sure the project gets finished appropriately. So want to make sure we're accountable, we're staying on top of things. For those that have driven by, the demolition itself and the fill-in of the sand and the ground is on track at this point. The biggest concern going forward, I think, is we need to make sure that the adjacent building owner is taken care of. Again, for those that don't know, the adjacent building was built without a wall. So that wall was not torn down. There never was a wall there. So when this building came down, that wall, we knew it was going to have to be replaced. And that is part of the grant to replace that wall, and that will be funded through the grant. There was some additional damage that did occur by the contractor to the building. That will be remedied by the contractor. So that will be required by him. So we are holding him to account. Obviously, getting the building down is good for public safety ultimately. I think we're going to have a nice company in the adjacent building, the motorcycle shop. I think that's going to be a nice addition to Westtown. But I just wanted the council, the public, to be aware of these facts and keep you updated on everything. We've been in regular touch with Nathan. I will do one last plug because Ryan was part of it. Nate Charles, your building inspector. Nathan, your staff has been on this. They've been professional. They also have been holding the contractor to account. When they're not behaving properly, they're standing up to the contractor and saying, you're not doing this right, including the inspector. Nathan had to shut the building down last week for a period of time because when they hit the adjacent building, it became unstable. He made sure they had to brace that building before they could proceed. So your staff has behaved very professionally and admirably as well. So just want to add that. Emily, did I miss anything? Okay. Yeah, just want to get it out there for the public and make sure you're all in the loop on everything going on. So
before I let you go, any questions for Mr. Horvath regarding this? Any questions at all?
Not necessarily a question, just more of a comment. Mm-hmm. I'd definitely like to see more safety, more PPE being worn on your next project. I'm not going to tell you how to do your job.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy hanging off a excavator bucket, no safety harness, no hard hat, no vest, no nothing.
Yeah, that was, the videos are out there. I think most people have seen them. They've been shared quite a bit. That is obviously not legal. that is a safety violation. OSHA has been out there. I don't know exactly how that's going to transpire in terms of a penalty, but you know, this happens, sadly, where, you know, again, you vet the contractor, they're licensed, they're insured, they come with recommendations, and, you know, unfortunately, they didn't follow through appropriately. So, but to your point, Chris, yes, going forward. And what's unfortunate is we've done a lot of blight projects in this county over the last few years, I think 9 or 10, and every one of them had gone pretty smoothly comparatively. So, again, thankfully, nobody got hurt. We learned a lot. We're taking the appropriate measures, and we'll do better going ahead.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Justin. Yes.
Sir, can I just ask?
Sure.
I think I have a difference of opinion, perhaps with Nathan, about whether the road should have been closed mm-hmm. as part of the permitting that we issued. Mm-hmm. Why? Can you explain to me why it wasn't necessary to close, especially seeing, obviously, I mean, even just bricks falling mm-hmm. can scatter across the road and hurt somebody. So why did we not choose to redirect sure. traffic?
So there was a pre-project meeting that I think occurred about a week before. I was not there. I know Emily was there, so I know that conversation. Maybe someone else. I don't know if Nathan, you were there. If you want to comment specifically on that conversation.
Yeah, it was the conversation was
it was brought up, was it's an MDOT closure. Was the closure going to take place? And the contractor said that the northmost lane would be closed, but that he did not feel like it was going to be necessary to close the entire road. And that was discussed, and so that was a decision that they made. So it was obviously, knowing what happened, it would have been better to have the whole thing closed. But that was a part of that pre-demolition meeting.
So it was decided by the contractor
correct.
What they considered to be safe?
Correct, based on their experience of doing this many, 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 many times. So it's unfortunate what happened, but that was a call that was made, and obviously other people were in the room if you want to comment. But yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The city advised of the process to close on MDOT right away. Contractor decided not to do it. I can tell you that after this, the building official came to me and said, look, I don't care who it is, how many projects they've done. I'm just going to exercise my power to say anybody doing work like this in the future is going to close roads.
Okay, so good.
On his authority there. He's just going to require that they don't get their demo permit.
That's excellent. Thank you. I appreciate yeah. that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep. Further comments for the council? Yes, ma'am.
Hello, good evening. Ashley Stevens, 1438 West Main Street. I'm here today again to discuss the issue that is ongoing with the West Town houses that have been boarded up recently. You guys have done a great job, wonderful job with how fast you've gotten houses taken care of and the problems, but there's still a few problems that are remaining. And I'm sure everybody already knows about these houses, so I'm just going to say it. There's 1401 West Main Street and 1405 West Main Street that are still the issues for our neighborhood. And I have looked up everything online that's public information to know what has gone on with these houses. And I've also been in contact with the building department, the city manager. I've talked a lot in the last few weeks about everything. And so 1405 has had, for the past, since 2019, has had been taken to court for their violations. At least three property maintenance code violations a year, and every year it gets dismissed. And their yard and the people that are there and everything in it is making West Town look terrible. That's the first house. And 1401, that's right next door to it, is also a problem. And since being, I think the one is in more foreclosure, one's not, I'm not exactly 100% on those details, but 1401 is not supposed to have anybody there. And there has been recently, over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we rode past there on our bikes today, there are people camping next to the house, and they have temporary shelters built on it'd be the west side of the house, of 1401 West Main, and they're just collecting everything there now. So since they're not in the houses, and originally it wasn't the problem with being like in the house, it was being out in the yard. It was what was going on in these yards primarily was the concern of the neighbors. I know a lot, you know, going in and out of these houses, what was going on also was bad, but in the yards was bad. And so now we're still dealing with it at 1401 and 1405, and it's getting really frustrating because I was told at 1401, if anybody were to enter the property, house, anything, after it was red tagged, to call the police, non-emergency line, and then they would possibly get arrested for trespassing. So I did that on Friday. I called after a couple neighbors, you know, we've all been in communications with each other, you know, a couple streets back, a couple streets over 21, and they, so I called, and I was told that they're okay to be in the yard, because I was complaining about 1401 and 1405. They were allowed to be in the yard, and if I had any concerns about it, he could have the sergeant reach out to me. And I did not like the answer, because I was told that at 1401, they were not allowed to be there in the yard, the house, anything. And we were all told to call the police. And then when I call and nothing can get done, so then the whole weekend, it was just, you know, they're all just hanging out, doing whatever they're doing, collecting whatever they want, building temporary shelters. It's out of control, and it's not stopping, and they just keep staying there. They think they can get away with whatever they want. The 1405 house, they've been taken to court since 2019, and it keeps getting dismissed because they think they can just keep doing it and not get in trouble for it. And it's making Westtown look bad. I mean, and I'm speaking for a lot of my neighbors, more than 10 of my neighbors, 10 different houses at least, from behind Robbins, a couple streets, all the way over to at least Donald, probably farther than that. We're all upset about it. And so I was coming today to just voice my opinion about it again and see what can be done, because obviously, you know, I know I've talked to the building department also. I've been in communications even today with it, and it's just something that 1401 is the problem child of them all, you know what I mean? And then 1405 is getting worked on, but I would just appreciate, and the neighbors would too, if something can get done sooner than later.
Okay, we will address it. I know that the chief is quite aware of it, I was just made aware of the tenting today and this and that, and there are legal, you might have been told some things, but I know there's a process. I know the chief's totally on top of it, and I would like, again, I know you did probably 2 weeks ago, to stick around and let the chief talk with you and whoever that's here for this reason, to go over some more details with you at the end of the meeting, if you would. But we are on top of it. It's going to be handled eventually. I know with the municipalities and so forth, me coming from a different area of the world all my life, moves a little bit slower, but we're moving. And so I'm liking what I'm seeing. So all I can say is we're quite aware and we're not walking away.
Okay.
So if you stick around, the chief will see you after the meeting.
Okay.
Is that okay, chief?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, I bring it back to the council for any comments. Seeing none, this brings us to the consent agenda. I'd be looking for a motion.
Motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion to support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Council members Ludington?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Council members Olson?
Yes.
Beer?
Yes.
And Mayor Teich?
Yes. The consent agenda is approved. This brings us to items of business. Number one, notice of pecuniary interest. Enter notice of pecuniary interest on the record for Councilman Carl Ludington as it relates to proposed contracts with Ludington Electric, Inc. for the period of June 24th, 2026 through July 29, 2026. I'd be looking for a motion.
So moved.
Support.
I have a motion to support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Should we in here for that?
And am I correct?
Sorry.
Yes. You, this one you vote out.
Okay. Yep.
All right, council members Olson?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Luddington?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Council member Owens?
Yes.
And Mayor Teich?
Yes. Notice of pecuniary interest is approved. This brings us to items of business number two, USDA Rural Development Community Facilities Grant. And we'll start it off with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a continuation of the 2024 congressional appropriation of $1 million for the renovation of mostly mechanical functions of the public safety building. It's taken this long because there's quite a lot of red tape to navigate, and the federal government, we don't get money directly from Congress, so the most appropriate agency to funnel this money through is the USDA. So we are subject to their grant requirements, but the only difference here is that this is 100% funded through the grant. There's no match requirement unless we go over that amount, and then of course the city would be on the hook for that. And what they call this is the clear to close. So that may seem like we're getting the funding and getting the project completed by closing, but the USDA considers this the last step before we can bid. So we've done that. There's still some more red tape to navigate, but we got a clear grasp of it. We're having help from our partners at Veritas and Spicer Engineering, and I believe that we've had the bids come back last week. So we may have jumped the gun a little there, but we knew that this grant agreement was forthcoming. So this is the final commitment from the USDA that these funds are available. There's going to be a little more work ahead, but we're targeting next calendar year to start this work. You will see the bid award at a future meeting.
Okay. Thank you, City Manager. Questions?
Support.
Have a motion of support. This will be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Mayor Pro Tem Haber.
Yes.
Council members Owens.
Yes.
Fear.
Yes.
Luddington.
Yes.
Olson.
Yes.
And Mayor Teich.
Yes. The USDA Rural Development Community Facilities Grant is approved. This brings us to our second citizen comments, which you will be allowed up to 3 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone at this time that would like to address the council? Yes, sir.
Hello, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well. My name is Galen Ponder at 602 North Ball Street. And Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to say, and to everyone present, that I am running for city council. And you look to see my name on the November ballot.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Further comments? Yes, ma'am.
Hello again, Ashley Stevens, 1438 West Main Street. There is one more thing that I wanted to talk about, but it's not pertaining to Westtown. It is the no camping policy in the Owosso City Parks. The River Trail being the one I'm speaking of. The River Trail is a river trail where families come to enjoy the wildlife and the nature, sunshine, the downtown city, and you know, I would really like to have a picnic at one of those picnic tables right there by Huntington Bank. Unfortunately, all summer long, it has that picnic table, those two, and the surrounding area has been congested by maybe just one, two, I'm not sure, people that do not have homes. And they don't move. And they, whether there's a car show down there, whether, you know, there's any event down there being held down by that street, they don't move. So I have not been able to sit there and have a picnic at all the whole summer like we used to every other summer before this. And the person has been in trouble before. We pulled up one time in our vehicle to have a pizza at Darren Kerwood, and he had his pants down. He was standing on the riverbank looking towards the parking lot with his pants off, and he was drunk. And so I called the police because it was a good concern. I have a six-year-old child. We constantly ride our bicycles down that sidewalk, down the trail, because it's nice. It's just nice to do every night. And when I have to worry about, I'm just going to say it, I hope I don't offend anybody, but bums. I'm sick of having them jump out at me when we're at nighttime and say they're going to try to fight one of us to make, because we're trying to make sure they're okay and they're not, like, you know, dead on the sidewalk or something because they're laying in the grass face down. You know, that happened a couple weeks ago. There's just certain incidences that keep happening, and I'm carrying a flashlight now. I, you know, whatever time of day, I'm always alert, and I just, the people that are staying, I found a tent down there 2 weeks ago probably, down by where the little duckies are that we go, there's a bench and there's ducks right behind the movie theater. That's another issue. I know that there's people that are having problems, but, you know, I would just, there's no camping. It's a rule. There's no camping in the city of Owosso Parks. End of story. So if he went into the woods or somewhere else where the other camps are, that's fine with me, you know, out of sight, out of mind. I don't have to see it when I'm on my bike ride and explain to my six-year-old why there's someone on the side or someone over there in the weeds sleeping on the ground at all hours of the night. And, you know, I don't have to explain any of that to him. I would really appreciate that if, you know, they're there every day too. I have multiple pictures and videos of it. And I call the police all the time about it. And there are extra patrols down through there, but that's not to be rude, but that's not good enough. The one person needs to be taken care of. Take them to a hotel, take them to a motel, to a shelter, somewhere. Take them, help them. Somebody help them get it out of that situation so that I can have a picnic by the end of the summer. Thank okay. you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments. Further comments to the council? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the city council for any comments. Seeing none, that brings us to the city manager's report. City manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This month it's a bit different because I wanted to piggyback on what we heard at the last meeting regarding curbside recycling and the efforts that have been going on for the last couple of years, not only through the city's attempt to, through Dr. Krantz, to get some public input on what our options are and what the temperature of the community is on curbside recycling, but also the work of the Cook Family Foundation recycling work group that you and I are members of. So just to recap, last month we heard from Dr. Krantz through her presentation that we all know that Part 115 of Michigan's Natural Resources Environmental Protection Act is changing as of January 1st, 2028. That decision was made in December by the state legislature, December of 2022. All other communities in Shiawassee County, this isn't going to affect them like it's going to affect Owosso. We are the only one that is a population over 5,000. The way the new law reads, that any city over population of 5,000 is now required to offer curbside recycling access to at least 90% of single-family households. And our deadline, again, is January 1st of 2028. We've known that for a time, and that's why we've hired Dr. Krantz and played a founding role in the Cook Family Foundation work group. So last month we had the results of 23 listening sessions between April and June of this year that Dr. Krantz has conducted. And one of those sessions, or two of those sessions, were actually with the local haulers. And we learned that the recycling tipping fees, what it takes to, the amount of money it takes to dump a truckload of recycling at a recycling facility is $110 per ton currently. Trash tipping fee, non-recyclable, is $28 a ton. I had a conversation with Mayor Pro Tem Haber last week about this, and we were kind of spitballing and just talking about the changes that are coming. Michigan is behind the eight ball, and that's why we're seeing these changes. However, you know, we kind of agreed that this is more of a public service now than it is a business model, because it just doesn't make sense based on these tipping fees for the smaller local haulers to really pick it up at the scale that would help Owosso not only comply with the Part 115 rules, but really make a concerted effort towards recycling more. So part of Dr. Krantz's question she asked in her listening sessions, we found that the option that was most palatable, most popular with the people who responded was for the city to go to a single hauler for waste and recycling. The reasons that they cited, most obvious, the number one reason is cost and affordability. That's what people are concerned about. But they didn't know, they didn't really know unless they did their own research, that usually when a community goes from an open market like ours to a single hauler, there's typically savings that occurs. It's not much, but it is savings. The second most important aspect for the responders was environment and sustainability, and accessibility and convenience rounded out number three. So that was just a quick recap of what she shared with us last month. Also last month, City Council left instructing me to give you some information on communities that have recently changed over from an open market system like ours to a single hauler that handles curbside and recycling, at the very least. Now, some of them also did like bagged leaf service. My previous community does that, but that is not something it seems that we wanted to include. So I just considered trash and recycling. And so the latest one, and the one that got the most news, was Portage. Portage is four times the size of Owosso, but they had a similar situation where they were open market. They had a very popular and large local hauler, respectively, that had some political connections to Lansing. So when the city council made the decision to go in Portage, when the city council made the decision to go to a single hauler, that popular local hauler leveraged his contacts in the state legislature to say, hey, pass a law, we need to reverse this, like we should stay open market. And on top of that, that local hauler forced a local referendum. So council made the decision, and then this hauler convinced enough people to say, hold on, wait a minute, we're going to sign a petition saying we want this to go to the voters. It still passed. The voters said, yes, we want single hauler. So that's Portage. They went from about $25.07 per month to $14.04 per month with this new contract. And they just started it this year. I also included some examples from Waterford Township, the Grand Traverse region, and Eau Claire, Wisconsin. But as far as recent communities that have gone from open market to single hauler, those are the four that I could really find. Most of them, and even in Michigan, most of them that have single haulers have had single haulers for a very long time. My previous community did, and they still pay less than what you would on the open market here. It was difficult for Dr. Krantz to get prices from the local haulers because it's their business. The city public is not really involved in that. It's a relationship between business and customer. So getting those prices is difficult. I have a couple, but they're sort of all over the board. I can say they're higher than what we're seeing in these other communities that have recently switched over. And keep in mind that this is for single-family residences only, at least 90% of them. So it doesn't include commercial, and it doesn't include apartment complexes. The cities that have established single-hauler contracts, they are in and about between $12 and $24 per month. And that includes Novi, the Grand Traverse region, Portage, Waterford, Port Huron, and my community in Springfield. My previous community, Springfield, falls within that range as well. I didn't represent it here. I just made a call. The one strange one, because we always like to balance the information we share with you. There's always that outlier, right? And Mayor, you and I talked about this just today. The Lansing City Council has considered a single hauler proposal as recently as August of 2025. And this is something that I believe some of the larger haulers were encouraging them to do, but Lansing is strange because they have their own government-run service. And this particular council member at the time in August of last year said, well, if we're going to go to single hauler, why don't we just use our own, the government-run one that we created? It didn't go anywhere, but that is a situation that's different from an existing open market like us where there's no government involvement, as opposed to those communities that had single haulers for quite some time through a contract. My previous community, when we had our single hauler, they did curbside recycling, trash pickup, brush pickup, and leaf pickup. And it was still cheaper. But they've had that for a while, and they had a transfer station, a waste management transfer station just outside city borders in the township. So there really wasn't a lot of haggling over diesel surcharges, for instance, although with recent changes in fuel prices, that is definitely a consideration that that I'll have to consider if you wish to go and see a bid for a single hauler. I think we're too early in this process. You need to decide what you would like to pursue before we start talking about how we fund it, because there's a couple different ways you fund a single hauler contract, and it's either through assessments or utility bills. And that's all I have for now. You asked to see some examples from other communities to give you an idea of what it would change as far as the monthly cost to a single family household resident. And I think that's a pretty good representation of that.
City manager.
Other non-recycling related issues. Thank Justin and Emily for coming this evening. It did occupy quite a bit of staff's time last week in assisting with the 800 West Main property, especially in the building department. We hope that things get back on track because that new business owner, he's been very cooperative, very understanding, but everybody has their limits, right? And so I'm glad to hear that this particular contractor may have just had a really bad week because he's done a lot of work. He's known by the state for doing a lot of work, and this is just not his project. So we're happy that the land bank has worked out a situation where he can get some supervision, get it done, and move on, because that is a very, as we know, it's been a very public-facing project for no other reason than the fact that it's on M21. Everyone sees it. Parks and Recreation, the Kerwood Castle renovation is coming along well. The issue we're having, though, is that it's been difficult to source the historic radiators that blew when the boiler quit. Good news is we have the vendor. It's been very difficult to find. We actually went as far as Scotland to find a vendor, but this one is American-made. And Amy's not here this week, but she wanted me to touch on this. We don't know if we're going to have permanent boiler heat in place by the time cold weather hits. But the good news is we still have that temporary furnace in the basement so that nothing freezes again. The Perrin's doing a good job on the roof and the stucco repairs. Like I said, we got lucky with those stucco repairs on the outside. There was not any interior wood damage, and that's why they had that $32,000 contingency. They don't need to dip into that, and it's a good thing because we're always nervous. I mean, we even had trouble finding a contractor that would work on a 105-year-old castle. So it's a difficult building to manage, but the good news is that when this is done, we're not going to have to worry about these long, persisting roof leaks that have been impossible to find. And that is really the bread and butter of making sure a building stays healthy, is to make sure a good roof is on it. So we're always very nervous when we have to touch the cast because we know what it means to the community. But Perrin, we got lucky with them. They're a local contractor. They're fantastic. People like to go watch them work, and that's because they do a good job. The summer concert series, it's extending at least one session. I believe that's this week because they had to cancel, and I completely agree with this. They had to cancel one of the downtown concerts and markets because of the Canadian wildfire smoke. I was up in Boeing during that, and in the past it's never really bothered me, but it drove everyone inside up there. We had some of the worst air quality index up there in that area. It was unbearable. So to be in that part of the state for a conference and not be able to enjoy the outdoors, it was pretty frustrating. But we were coordinating with the market manager and completely support his decision to cancel because public safety for wildfire smoke, who would have thought we'd ever have to deal with that? But I'm glad that he is being mindful of it. Oh, what's last thing here? Oh, your MERS pension actuarial did come back. I don't know if you have a copy of it yet. Brad is still reviewing it, but I did just want to mention that we are still in very good shape as far as our funded ratio. The economy has taken some hits, but the stock market seems to be holding, which is kind of strange. So we're still kind of hovering around that 90% funded level, which is good, but more details to come on that. And that was it. Thank you.
Thank you, City Manager. I'm going to tick off from what you just said because I forgot to mention a couple of things. First of all, I want to mention, go on this, what you were going on the makeup for the summer concerts. This week will be Simply in Time. It's actually our last one scheduled, but we have rescheduled the one that was canceled the week after.
Okay.
So Beth Stalker, if I got her name right, will be then the week after this Thursday. So two more to come. The other thing is National Night Out. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if everybody's familiar with National Night Out, but National Night Out is basically it's going to be it's a public
gathering
right here at the public safety building. We had, up to 400 people last year show up. It's going to be tomorrow night between 5 and 7. How many hot dogs have we got?
656 all for you, Mr. Mayor.
Just six of them.
Is that because you're doing that because I forgot to mention this, Chief?
You can have the first one.
First hot dog.
Don't stop.
All right. Respecting... probably over 500 this time. I was there last year. Fantastic event. So it's an evening of community food and family-friendly activities as we celebrate partnerships between the community and the public safety. So there will be a lot of things out there to show the kids, all the machinery and things like that. They're going to have a lot of fun there. The DDA, put the little hit in for DDA. They'll have their booth. I wrote a few things down here at the city of Owosso tent. We'll have drizzle cakes and Jill there, where you kids can come and decorate their own cookies, and that was a big deal. And I think she ran out of cookies pretty quick. I think she's going to be stashed with a few more this year. There'll be a gift card drawing. That the DDA is going to be set up, so that'll be going on. A lot of things going on. I would not miss it. It's a really good time, and a lot of people showed up last year, and that makes it even more special.
I still think that the dunk tank needs to come back, Nathan. My arm has gotten so much better.
Dunk tank.
We'll dunk get tank. You this time.
No, thank you. Yeah, that's right. It wasn't there last year, was it?
No. It was only there one year. And then no more dunk tank.
Okay. We'll look into that.
I did it for Mr. Owosso. It was cold.
There you go.
You did it for Mr. Owosso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fire department had a blast filling it from the river. It
was from the river. Oh, all right. I like that. Okay. So any comments on... the city manager's report.
I had one question that if Ryan, you in particular, if I could put it, do you have the dates of the leaf pickup kind of penciled in your mind yet? Because last year there was that weird snowfall kerfuffle and.
Generally, they stay about the same. I know since I've started, we've actually pushed it back. I think a month since I started, but it's Mother Nature. Whether it
exactly
comes and goes as far as
yeah.
Last year we had a late drop in leaves, followed by shortly after that, then the snow fell. And as many are aware, the leaf pickup crew is also the snowplowing crew.
Yeah.
So
I just wasn't sure if it was going to change at all. It seemed like maybe a couple, like last year when we were talking about it, that maybe there would be more of an incentive to start the first pickup a little later, and then do them closer together. So I wasn't sure. I know the one next water bill is going to come out and the pickup's going to be on there and things like that. So I just figured.
The only problem with starting it later is then, unfortunately, we actually would have had less picked up last year when the snow did fall.
Right.
So that's one thing to consider. While there not might be as much that first go around, they still do pick up quite a fair share.
Oh, yeah.
And so if they're not starting at that time, if they start later, that means whatever was picked up in the beginning, there's potential for extra to be on the ground if the snow does fly.
Yeah.
So it's just something to consider. I wish I had a farmer's almanac that was 100% accurate and I could utilize that. I don't. I also can't predict the lottery numbers either, unfortunately, but we do the best we can, and we've using the trends and the data we have since I've started, we've pushed it back at least 2 weeks, if not a month, from when I first came on board 6 years ago. But it's weather-dependent and weather-driven, so if the leaves fall kind of a more of an average time, it works out well. But I remember as a kid, there's been Halloweens where we've had snow on the ground. There's been Halloweens where it's been 75 degrees, so Mother Nature.
Okay, but for right now, no changes?
As of now, we have no planned changes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if you want, I can get you those dates.
That would be, I think, you know, because we have the new communication portal and people were really concerned last year,
mm-hmm.
I just feel like if we could get ahead of it and know, like, I didn't know if they were changing or not. Because if they were, then we could...
We don't have current plans to.
Last year it was October 20th through the 31st was the first round, and November 4th through the 24th was the second round.
And so I think that, if I remember right, I think that the feedback was that the first one was too early and the second one was too late.
Mm-hmm.
So
they still do pick up that first round.
Yeah.
We're always talking about making adjustments there, so we just haven't got to that point. We haven't had that meeting yet. We're in August, so I guess
we're getting there. That second pickup, you have to remember, whether you start earlier or later, you're still getting around the entire city. You know, and that's kind of really the thing, is that a lot of people don't realize, based on where you land within the actual map, whether you're one of the early ones or the late ones, makes a huge difference based on that fall. So if you're one of the eighth sectors, you might get lucky for that first round and have a lot more for it, where section number one has very little, but that number eight might have snow on the ground before the next go round, where number one, if they might not have had anything down on the ground yet, but then they're first on the second go-round. So it, in a way, it kind of self-balances itself. So, but there's, again, it's left up to Mother Nature.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
I just was wondering, based on City Manager's report, is there any comments regarding the findings in the recycle? Feelings at all on that?
I mean, I do. I pay way more than what even Waste Management is saying in Portage or any of those other places. So I really look forward to the idea that maybe we could save some money. And I know there are some places that also will, because it becomes so much more affordable, they can bill semi-annually or annually. And so it's like a one-time bill versus monthly draws. Is that, I don't know if that's something that you've seen in Michigan?
No, not really.
Yeah.
It's always timed with, if it's utilities, it's always timed with water bills.
Right.
If it's taxes, it's whenever your tax bill gets paid.
Quarterly then?
Quarterly, or if it's an assessment on taxes, it's twice a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One question I had, City Manager, on the costs. Let's take Portage 25 down to 14, going to a single hauler. Does the 25, was that just for trash alone, and the 14 is for trash and recycle?
That's correct.
So that's double up.
Amazing.
That's double up. So that is amazing that you can have both and you can get it for less. So
I think that we should do some serious thinking on how we want to go forward when it comes to recycling. We do have a, we don't have to like do it tonight or whatever, but we do have a deadline that we have to hit, and we got to have a, I think, from the city council a direction to give the city manager on how we want to direct.
What would be the deadline to get it on the ballot and let the community decide?
How would that work, city manager?
November's out. Obviously, tomorrow is out.
What would they, can I ask, what would so they you be deciding?
Whether or not to go to a single hauler like they did.
Because we still have to, I mean, we still have the mandate from the state to have 90% of the single family homes offered curbside. Right. That we have to meet. So how would we do that? How would we meet that mandate?
I have no clue.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just going by what
city
manager mentioned earlier about, I think it was Lanson that let it go to the community for a vote?
No.
No?
Portage.
Thank you.
And they but that was,
for the single hauler.
Yeah, that was a petition that was driven by the public, not by the city council. City council decided. Public said, wait a minute, we got this hauler that's up in arms, so we're going to work with him. And they got enough signatures on a petition to not put a referendum on whether or not it should be, you know, single hauler. They just put a referendum on the fact that council, they didn't want council to make the decision.
Okay. The reason that I ask is on social media, there's all kinds of bitching and moaning about going to a single hauler. So if we have the opportunity to let them decide on whether or not we go to a single hauler, then let them decide. We're already getting our heads cut off for everything else we've done in the last year and a half.
Don't be scared, Chris.
Okay. I'm not scared. I've got a little bit left to cut it.
Well, is it typically something that council would decide?
Yes.
Okay. So I would say that that's probably the most efficient way because everybody's already been elected.
Well, we kind of did this.
I know you don't want
to not running again.
I know. Quick.
We kind of did this with. We kind of did this in a way with going through our consultant, KSK, and basically doing how many meetings, 23 or 23. Meetings, and it was almost overwhelming. The response was number five. So we kind of done that in a sense. I'm sure that, this is another one of those not going to make everybody happy type of thing, but you got to look at what the people have said in these sessions, and make a decision what we think is the best for the city of Owosso and the city of Owosso, meaning the public and the citizens of Owosso.
I get what our job is. If there was an option, I wanted to use it.
Right.
There's not an option to get it in November, so it's not an option.
No.
I didn't finish.
Sorry.
You would have to run a special election on your own dime in 2027, and that would probably cost $50,000. Yeah. 30 to 50 is what my guess would be, because there'd be nothing else. I mean, if someone else had an election, maybe we could split the cost, but right. It's too late for 2028 or 2026.
Okay, and that's what I was wondering. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'd sure like to hear from our local haulers, and you know, if they have an avenue where they can help out with this too. You know, we had 23 meetings and only 106 people. I mean, it's...
Can't make them participate.
You know, I would personally like to hear from the haulers.
They had their own session, Jerry. It was just them.
Right here.
Yep. And I know 106 participants doesn't sound like much, but it's all representative, right? It's based on samples. It's not only us doing it in this process. It's used on the national scale as well. You're never going to get the opinion of absolutely everybody because I don't know who said it. Sorry, I was looking down. But you can't force people to participate. This is the best information we got right now. If you want more, say so. And preferably say how you would like it to be conducted. But if your decision right now is to make a decision, which I've had this discussion with previous councils, that you are elected to make decisions. If you foist your responsibility, concede your responsibility to the ballot box every time something gets difficult, why did you get elected? Why do you want to get elected? Not you particularly, Jerry. This is conversations I have with council members when they're concerned about making these tough decisions. What Councilmember Owens said, perfectly viable. It is a difficult decision, but it's just, what are you willing to stomach? Do you want to make this decision, or do you want to punt it?
I don't have a problem making the decision.
Yeah.
You know, you're
just wondering if it's an option. It is. Yeah.
But it's not one that would get done right away. It would be one of 2027.
Yeah, because you only run two elections a year.
And I'm not willing to wait that long, so. Sorry, I tried to give you guys a choice.
Not to mention the cost.
Huh?
The cost,
right.
Too. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like our best option at this point, how it's been presented to us, is to explore a single hauler. Like, for a proper agenda, you know, item, a discussion, a vote. Like, I think that we need to see the single hauler through because it seems to be the most viable, economical, beneficial option, not just for the residents, for the roads, for everything. There's been a lot of upside that's been presented to us in the data that would indicate that we should probably explore this and rule it in or rule it out. The evidence, I mean, we don't have an alternative that we're really considering that we can move on. So let's see this one through and decide.
I kind of agree, and you make a 7-person vote.
Yeah.
Go your way on what the, but it comes up on the, on one of our business items going down the road. So
should I try ask staff to put it on the agenda, or do you ask staff, or do I have to make a motion?
I'll talk to the city manager and how we approach, you know, it's basically we as a council need to make a decision that we want to pursue a single hauler option 5, and that would then go to you, city manager, if we approve that as a whole. I don't know if it has to be a vote, a motion and a vote on that, or we're just all in agreement to have you do that.
I'd prefer that.
A vote?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So even if it's just a voice vote, but directing me to bring a resolution to start a bidding process.
Okay.
That's where we start. There's a lot of other decisions that have to be made other than that.
All right.
It's going to take a while.
Is that the first decision that we need to make, though?
Yes.
To keep moving forward?
Yep. So if we want to take any further, I need that type of motion.
And to be clear, this isn't instructing me to bid now. This is to bring a resolution at a future meeting, the next meeting.
Right.
For you to consider, be like, do we want to release this to bid? Because doing it without it on the agenda tonight, bad idea.
Yeah,
so you're just directing me to bring it to you the next time. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is just to get it on the agenda next
time. Yep. Okay.
I'll make that motion. Okay, perfect. I'll support. But, look, Chris, get in there, Chris.
Okay. I have a motion of support. I would say let's make this a roll call vote.
No. Be voice vote.
Okay.
You're just
a voice vote.
Yeah. Okay. You're just asking. What is exactly your motion?
What is that? To instruct staff to make a resolution, right?
Yeah, we're bringing a resolution.
Yeah. Make an agenda item.
Yeah.
At the next meeting.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same.
I don't think the other side heard you.
Huh?
I don't think the other side heard you.
All in favor
say aye.
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 All opposed the same.
Nay.
Ayes take the vote. All right.
Mayor Teich.
Yes.
As a consultant, may I just
you may
say one thing?
You may.
I know that when the sessions were held, people came in with a certain set of facts and knowledge. When they left the session, because at least half of the time was giving information, most people walked away saying, I did not know that, I didn't know that, and I didn't know that. Therefore, my option is X. I just think if we can think about a way to have the presentation or the information shared in a way that everybody could view it if they wanted to, whether it's a videotape of it or something, I think that would be helpful for the general public, because I do think that there's a lot of information that is relevant to forming an opinion. That's all.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And I agree.
It's possible one exists from the state. It's like my... Because they have a whole campaign with a raccoon and everything. So it's possibly... I wouldn't be surprised if they have educational videos already prepared. But I think that's a good idea. If we could push something out like that.
Okay.
Motion to close.
Okay. I have a motion. Let's see, make sure I got everything in here. Yep. Next meeting is August 17th. I have a motion to adjourn.
Support.
I have a support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
We
are adjourned.
You want to stay? You want to stay longer? You're like, I'm
tonight. I'm sorry.
Go, Buck.